I'm Joseph Hunter, and this is Writer's Therapy, a place for me to think about writing, talk about writing, and get writing out of my system. Last night, or this morning I should say, I woke up at 5 a.m. I had what's commonly referred to as a dark night of the soul. By which I mean, I woke up at 5 a.m. wide awake from a strange sequence of dreams that left me lying there afterwards, unable to get back to sleep, worrying about all sorts of things in the half dark of the pre-dawn. The dream itself involved a baby. Me and Beth had had a baby. I remember the pinkness and the squirmingness of this tiny thing. And there was a terrible urgency. And I don't know what the urgency was. I think it was something to do with needing to get this baby to a hospital to get it all checked out. And we were in this upper floor apartment in a house that was kind of an attic apartment. All the ceilings were peaked inwards. And so everything felt oppressive overhead. And outside the apartment, it was raining. Torrential rain that was slightly orange in colour. I could see it pooling on the pavement in the street outside and the other raindrops. I could see the rain that had already fallen pooling on the street outside and the other raindrops lashing into the water that was already standing. And while I was trying to figure out how we were going to get this baby to this hospital, Beth was walking around the space, looking at the ceilings for leaks. And after I woke up, I only really half slept then from 5 until 8 o'clock when my alarm went off. And all the dark thoughts that come in when you're in that twilight zone of night racked my brain. For example, yesterday I had quite an enjoyable teaching experience, which was associated with the university, where we do outreach essentially into local schools to try and encourage their brightest students to apply to places like the University of Manchester. And I was in a classroom with these kids teaching a pre-designed lesson. One of the exercises was to do with thinking about the ways in which they want to live their lives. And the scenario they were asked to consider was, you are 80 years old looking back on a long life. What kind of experiences would you like to have had? And the idea is to get them to think about how they want to live as well as just practically what they want to do. It's all connected to character education, which is a big thing in secondary education now. Apparently. I'm just learning about it. And as I was talking them through the scenario, I said to them, you know, 80 years old probably seems a long way away to you now. And it is, but soon enough you'll get there. And then this morning, after I woke up from this strange dream that all seemed to be about the oppressiveness of time, I lay there and I thought, I'm nearly halfway there. 37. So in 3 years, I'll be 40. That's halfway to 80. And I think to me, until I said that to those kids yesterday, 80 still seemed an unfathomable number in terms of an age that I could be. But halfway to 80 is significant as a milestone, isn't it? I'm not quite there yet, but the closer you get to each of these ages, 40, 50, the more they seem normal, for want of a better word. And yet sometimes when you zoom out from it, you realise how much time has gone by. And in those dark hours, lying in bed, unable to sleep, you wonder whether what you've already done is worth the space of years. The other thing I was thinking about when I was in bed this morning is something that I haven't really had time or space to think about for a while that used to bother me a lot, which is how fast or slowly I'm writing. I don't mean on a day-to-day basis, but I mean completing a project. When I started the PhD 2.5 years ago, I started it having not really written any of the novel that I planned to write as part of it. I think I'd made a plan, and I certainly had thought a lot about it and done some research. I hadn't actually written any of the chapters yet. And previously to that, I'd already written 3 novels. Each one of those had taken me less than a year to write the first draft, more or less. The third one I wrote in 3 months. And although that felt too quick afterwards, I'd always had in my mind the idea that 3 to 5 months was enough time for me to write, certainly a first draft, if not a second. It's now 2.5 years in and I haven't finished the first draft. There are all sorts of reasons for that. One of them is just that I'm so busy with other things. Even if I'm writing every day, I'm not able to necessarily write as much as I would otherwise. And also I'm splitting my time between, as I mentioned before, the thesis, teaching commitments, and other things to do with the PhD, other work, other experience, research jobs, the archive visit, the conferences that I've been to and prepared papers for. And all of this slows down the process of writing the fiction. I've also, consciously or otherwise, allowed this novel to expand to fill the time of the PhD. You know, I suppose that by having these advisors who are feeding back on stuff as I go, it's made me feel that I should slow down, make the use of the time that I've been allocated for this PhD. But now I've made so much of use of it that I'm really going to have to give it some to get it done in the 3 years, or the extra months they give you to write up afterwards. There are benefits I can see to allowing it to fill this space. I have a deeper understanding of the characters than I had when I was, say, 6 to 8 months into writing it. I wrote more within that early period than I have written over periods of a similar length since. But what I've written since often is more to the point and more thought out. But recently I've also been wondering if another thing that's happened by taking this long over it is that increasingly I see the flaws in a way that I wouldn't if I'd written it more quickly. Now that might be a good thing because I can correct them, but it also creates a certain amount of uncertainty where I'm worrying about the flaws too much to enjoy the writing that is working. I once said to my friend who's a writer a few years ago that I felt like I was the kind of writer who needed to get something down in first draft quickly, or they lost the shape of it, so that it had, the phrase I used was, unifying spirit of intent, because it was done in kind of one motion. And I'm way past that with this novel. Maybe, for the first time, doing it this way, I'll arrive at a better place because the unifying spirit of intent is constructed differently, with more deliberation and more nuance. And that force can become something that propels you on with something without giving it sufficient reflection as to why you're doing it and how you're doing it. Maybe by slowing down on this novel, I can make more use of the words that I do write rather than just writing for the sake of writing. I'm going to read now a poem that I wrote that expresses some of these thoughts and insecurities. It's called White's Waste Paper. I ran past big green truck, on the front with thick white letters, White's Waste Paper. Well, that's true, I thought as I ran. I am white, and I waste paper.
I have wasted so much paper, scribbling over it with dark and dirty writing. So much paper I can't begin to count the white pages I have sullied. Latterly, too, white pages on screens. Over them crawl the bug-like letters, the sentences like broken bones. I have written and I have written. I write and I write, and for all these years, I have always believed that there was a purpose, even if it is sometimes hidden from me. A purpose and a valour in all this writing, perhaps a reward waiting. But maybe, I thought, I have used language, like we have all used the planet's blood. I have used it without enough care. Almost, now, I have used it up. The lettering on the truck should have said, White's waste paper, of course. It was a truck that disposed of paper, a truck that belonged to somebody called White. Ironically, it was a poor command of language that I had seen and responded to, because it meant something to me. Like the planet, words cannot speak. People can, but people speak and write, imprecisely, and for reasons often inscrutable to others. I write because I must write. I write because I have written. I write because the waste I have made of writing consumes me.